Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, we're here with brand new episodes every fortnight. Between then, you can keep in contact on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are at Pod Magical. Big thank you if you've been sharing the podcast amongst friends. I know there's quite a few Disney groups and some people have shared it over the last few weeks. So a massive thanks to that. It always helps because, you know, this is just a one-man operation. We're not here to make money, not affiliated with Disney. I don't get free things from Disney. I'm just here because, well, firstly, I love talking about Walt Disney World. Secondly, I love talking to people who love talking about Walt Disney World. And thirdly, I just like helping because I have the best time when I go and I want you to have the best time when you go. So there's any tips I can share because, you know, it's not a cheap trip, is it? I want you to have the best time. So if you could share on the socials, if you could share the podcast, if you could give us a 5-star review and subscribe, all that helps. So a massive thank you if you've been doing that. And of course, you can send your questions through as well on the socials. If you're going soon or you're planning, there's anything you think we might be able to help with or any ideas, do get in touch. I've actually had a message from Sam. This is nothing to do with planning. In fact, it's not really anything to do with her actual holiday. Sam wants to know, she's just started a brand new commute. So she's on the train for about 90 minutes every day. Have you got any other podcast recommendations, Andy? Because yours is not enough to fill my time. Well, I'd love to be able to do a daily podcast that's 90 minutes long, but unfortunately, I don't have time to do that myself, Sam, but thanks for getting in touch. Other podcasts, there's not really a lot of UK-based Walt Disney World podcasts, apart from this one. Obviously, there's my friends over at the Great British Mickey Waffle. They've got regular podcasts. Give them a listen. They're a very good listen. There's the actual official Disney Parks UK podcast that's presented by Gina Von Fletcher. That's not a regular podcast. They've done a couple of series of that. I think it's about 12 episodes of that last year and the year before. If you've not heard those, they're worth a listen. I think, I don't know any more UK-based Disney World podcasts. There's some American ones I like to listen to. Love a bit of Lou Mongello, WDW Radio. He's very good. The team at the Diz are very good. There's the official D23 podcast, which is great. That covers kind of like a lot of Disney things. Very Amusing is good. Carly Wiesel, she's quite heavily LA-based. She just goes to Disney World quite a lot, although she's gone on maternity leave very soon, but she's a great listen. So delve into those. That'll keep your commute going. And don't forget this podcast every other week. If you want to be a podcast guest, give me a shout. It's time to talk to this episode's podcast guest now. Let's have a catch up with Rory. And we're going to talk a lot of food because he's a chef. Let's say hello to Rory. How are you doing, Rory?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So you're a chef or you're a former chef?
So I always think of myself as a chef. However, I teach chefs now.
But, right.
Very much a foodie still. Love food, but also love talking about food and probably thinking about food a little bit too much as well.
That's what you do with Disney, because you think about where you're going to eat and then you think about what you're going to eat, where you're going to eat, and then you eat it. And then when you get back, you talk about it. So we will save that for later on. But first, tell me, why do you love Walt Disney World?
It's a big question. I think for me, it's the total immersion. The minute you get in, the minute you kind of come up and you're on the bus, you're in that bubble, it's complete immersion. Every ride, every experience, every show, you're just immersed in the magic. You know, looking at some of the rides, the minute you go on, you're looking at things like Galaxy's Edge, you're part of it. You're part of the resistance now, and that's what I really love about it, just not having to think about anything, not having to kind of do anything apart from just enjoy it.
I'm glad you're part of the resistance and not the First Order. Otherwise, this will have to be a very short podcast, Rory, but we're going to let you go with that one. So the first time you went then, you've been going for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, first time was 1999. So my uncle and auntie always went. They had two young daughters, but they asked me if I'd like to go. They were happy to kind of pay for the flight and the accommodation, but as a teenager, it gave me kind of a purpose to kind of start to get that first job, to start to save up my spending money. I had to pay for my own tickets as well, so that was a really good first kind of experience. They had, like I said, been going for years and years, and so they had a really good kind of knowledge about the place. And then I was kind of able to take that and start to love it as much as them as well, really. I do always think it could be potentially because my uncle wanted somebody to go on the big rides with, because his daughters were a little bit younger and not able to go on everything. So I was able to go on absolutely everything and kind of share that experience with him. So yeah, went a couple of times with them, 99 and 2001. Saw a lot of the Millennium stuff, and then started going with my partner in the mid-2000s as a couple.
But then this last trip that you went on back end of last year, this was your first trip as a family with kids.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've had a big break in between. We last went in 2008 as a couple, as well as with my brother and my wife's brother, and then had a big break. But the magic started calling, as they say, and we started to look at it this time, kind of last year. We did have a couple of trips other parts. We went to California for our honeymoon, so went to Disneyland, and we've also been to Paris.
Yeah.
But it was time to go back to the big one.
So how old are the kids?
So we've got Regan. She was 7 but turned 8 on the trip,
Oh,
which
brilliant.
was lovely.
Yeah.
And then Ewan, who's 3.
Right, so you've got a couple of different ages there, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Regan was mainly able to go on most things and do most things, but it was interesting going with a 3-year-old who was it was very different with him.
Did he know what was going on at 3?
Oh gosh, yeah, he knew what was going off. He For 6 months, he's been telling people he's going to see Mickey and what he's going to be doing. We were really surprised with just how much he could do as well. There were some things that we didn't think he would be able to do and go on, a bit like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. But we just like walked up with him and actually found out, yeah, he's actually, yeah. So he knew pretty much what was going off, and he was able to kind of tell us what he wanted to do out there as well.
Actually, come to think about it, I watched Tim Tracker and his little boy Jackson. He's 2 now, so he's a little bit younger. So yeah, of course, there's stuff you can do. Yeah, plenty of stuff you can do,
yeah.
And that's what it's for. It's a place for families of all ages, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you miss if you've been going for decades? Is there anything that there's no longer there, especially going with kids going, oh, I wish they still had that because I would love to have taken the kids on that.
Oh, it's an interesting one. My favourite park is Hollywood Studios, but I do kind of miss things like the Batlock tour. I miss Lights Motor Action. I understand why they got rid of it, and what they've replaced it with is amazing. But that was, yeah, Great Movie Ride was one that I kind of missed. The Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is fantastic, but I kind of miss that nostalgia. But I understand that things have to move on, and you have to keep going. One thing I'd really missed was Fantasmic, because when we went in October, it was just ready to reopen. I think they were doing cast member previews, but yeah, it opened the week we got back, which was unfortunate, but something to look forward to for
Always
next
an
time.
excuse to go back. Like we
Yeah,
need.
absolutely.
Like we need. And last time, did you just stay in Disney World, or did you venture out to anywhere else in Orlando? Did you get any other favourite places?
So we stayed primarily in Disney. We stopped at Disney and spent the majority of it there at Caribbean Beach. But we did go out to we went to Universal for a couple of days, and also Kennedy Space Center. Regan, my oldest, is big into space as I am, so that was a really good kind of time out. Meant to got to meet an astronaut as well, which was great, and talk to him,
All right.
ask him loads of questions as well. So that was really fun. But yeah, mainly in Disney, especially with the kids' ages, Disney was something that really kind of was the best kind of choice for us at this particular time.
How do you plan when you're taking kids of that age? Firstly, how do you budget? And then how do you plan your day?
How do we budget, you say?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, we kind of went out thinking that we want to set quite a high budget, so we were happy to go out. They had quite a bit of spending money, so we're able to kind of say whatever we want to do, we kind of did. So if the kids wanted an ice cream, or if they wanted a particular strange, weird drink with flashing ice cubes, we were able to do that. But it was yeah, it was okay. A lot of the time, the kids shared a meal. For instance, that the kids' portions are so big out there, they shared the meal, and then I ended up eating the majority of it anyway.
Yeah.
Planning wise, we kind of we set the days. We divided each day into kind of three sections, so morning, afternoon, and evening. But we always made sure that we went back in the afternoon either to the resort. Being on the Skyliner at Caribbean Beach was so easy. We could go back and have an hour in the room, or a couple of hours in the pool, or even going to a resort and having dinner. But just making sure that we actually did that rather than just going absolutely hell for leather, morning to evening, which we did last time and were able to do, but this time, unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. And it's something that I had to really get into my head. You know, you're not going to be able to do absolutely
Yeah.
everything. You're not going to be able to finish off at fireworks and then go to Disney Springs for dinner after. It's going to have to be bedtimes relatively early.
And afternoon naps. And is that why you chose Caribbean Beach, just for that handiness of having two parks on the Skyliner?
Pretty much, yeah. We knew the Skyliner was a bit of a game changer. We talked to a few people about it that stayed there previously. They recommended either, Art of Animation, Pop Century, or Caribbean Beach. We've stayed Value before, but we really liked the idea of a moderate resort, knowing that we would probably spend more time in a resort as well, with a few more facilities. But also, yeah, just jumping on that Skyliner, I think we timed it one day from like one from our hotel room door to Hollywood Studios, about 13 minutes, which was absolutely incredible and
Yeah.
just offered us that flexibility.
And especially if you've got a stroller, you don't want to be faffing around on buses or even getting in a car and putting it in a boot and then parking and then walking from the other side of the car park. It is really handy, isn't
Yeah,
it?
absolutely, really handy. Every time we went to a resort, to a park that didn't have a Skyliner access, it kind of felt like a bit of a shame, really. Even
Yeah.
having the monorail or the buses, which are amazing, it still meant that we weren't going on a Skyliner. My wife still thinks that the Skyliner is probably the best ride there now.
What is your favourite attraction, by the way, as you mentioned? Is it the Skyliner?
Oh, Skyliner's a great one. We've got Skyliner baubles for the Christmas tree this year.
Nice.
Attraction wise, though, I'm a massive Star Wars fan. Star Wars has always been part of kind of my time going there. We went to see Episode One that first trip, for instance, about 3 months before it was released in the UK. So Star Wars has always been a big one. Seeing Galaxy's Edge and going on Rise of the Resistance and Smuggler's Run, was just incredible. I mean, I really left. I didn't look at anything to do with either of the rides. I didn't look at any YouTube videos or anything. And going on Rise of the Resistance, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the sheer immersion of it and the fact of, how you almost become part of it was absolutely amazing. And I think they do things on that ride that I've never seen done in any other park.
Did it make you feel like a boy again, like stepping into the films?
It did. It made me regret cancelling my lightsaber building
Ah.
experience. I cancelled it a couple of weeks before, just thinking I wouldn't get too much out of it. And then after it, I thought, oh, you know what? Yeah, I really, really should have done. But I bought a plastic one. Which
Yeah.
supplemented it a
You
little
have to
bit, but
do your
yeah,
own
it's
noise, though.
oh, you can make your own noises.
At your own
It's
noise anyway.
fine.
It's part of the fun of it, isn't it? Maybe next time you could stay at the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Wow. Well, I better say, start saving up now. But yeah, absolutely, it
Yeah.
would be absolutely amazing.
We've got Rory on the podcast. We haven't spoke about food yet, so we'll do that next. Got some big news to tell you about. There's a fantastic competition that Disney are running at the moment, and it's only for us here in the UK. They are looking for the biggest Disney fan. Now, as part of this competition, 10 families will get an amazing trip that goes to Disneyland Paris, Walt Disney World Florida, and a Disney cruise. You get the lot, 10 families. Then, during that trip, you will compete for the ultimate prize, which includes a stay in the suite in Cinderella Castle. In the castle at Magic Kingdom, you get to stay. Now, any big Disney World fan will know that this prize is unbelievable. It really is a money can't buy prize. To enter, well, you need to really follow Disney Parks UK over on their socials on Instagram, and you've got to upload a quick video, 30 to 60 seconds, to tell them why you are the biggest Disney fan. Take me with you, please, if you get to go to the final. It's just incredible. And as I say, that is a prize that is only for us here in the UK. Elsewhere, other news is coming over from Walt Disney World. We've got a lot more details about Tron at Magic Kingdom, which will finally open in April, on April the 4th. There's a lot more details about the locker system, which operates, if you've done Velocicoaster over at Universal, it's the same. It's a two-way locker. So as you're going on the ride, you'll put all your stuff in a locker. As you get off the ride, you'll get your stuff out the locker, but you'll be at the other side of it and you just open it and close it with your magic band. There is a very small unit on the ride itself. So for glasses and your mobile phone and stuff, there's a little bit in there, but no backpacks and stuff. So you will have to put those in a locker. There's more details over on the Disney Parks blog about what that looks like. Also, it's something quite fun to do as well if you've got little ones who want to burn off a bit of energy. You're not really bothered about going to the parks. Over at Disney Springs on a Saturday, they've got a little kids club going. Now, this doesn't mean you can go and drop your kids off, leave them while you go and get drunk in Jock Lindsay's. That's not the idea. You actually have to stay with your kids. But there's loads of different activities and live music and games and stuff. So it's something quite nice to do. Maybe you're going there for quite a while and you've run out of park days. Disney Springs on a Saturday. Any more news between now and the next episode in 2 weeks, I'll update you on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Podmagical. So Rory's on the podcast. Former chef, but you teach chefs and you're a foodie, basically.
Yes, I love food. I will eat absolutely anything. I'll have a go at anything as well. So it was, really good to go and try a lot of different things.
So where did you eat and what are the best restaurants and what are the best dishes? Tell me everything.
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival was on at the time. So did a lot of eating around the world. Not too much drinking, unfortunately, with the kids.
Not with two kids,
ate so many places. Brewing at the Odyssey was fantastic. I tried lots of different chicken wings there and had a little flight board. I like my craft ales as well, so that was perfect. Some of the food in Japan, having a really nice bao bun, was absolutely lovely. We also had different mac and cheese varieties at the mac and cheese stall up near a test track, I think. That was absolutely amazing. I would have happily stopped at each and every country around the World Showcase and to every single one of them if my stomach could take it. But unfortunately, even though the smaller portions, it just didn't work out. Apart from that, I was really impressed with the Trattoria on the boardwalk. We went there on our last night. We were going to go there for a character meal. I know they used to have some of the princesses there.
Yeah, prince and princesses, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that wasn't available. I think that the princesses are yet to return there. But we went there anyway and had a really good meal. I had a fantastic steak there. And it was just nice to see the chefs cooking in the kitchen with the big open kitchen. So if we do go again, that'll be a place to definitely check out. I really like the look of the breakfast menu as well. I was very impressed. It's a bit of a broken record, but Docking Bay 7 for quick service at Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood Studios. Some of the food there was just really well presented and just interesting things. And Satuli Cantina as well, very similar kind of place. Having not gone for quite a few years, I was really impressed with how quick service has changed and how good it is now. You know, it used to be, I know there was always options, but it used to very much be burgers, fries, and a few other things. But those places were absolutely amazing. We did some character meals as well. The quote from my wife was, after we'd booked the second character meal, was, I don't think two's going to cut it. Maybe we need to look at a third.
So which three did you do? Which ones did you do? And which one was the best of the three?
So we did Chef Mickey's. We went on my birthday to Chef Mickey's. So being a chef, Mickey's one of my favourite characters. That was brilliant. Unfortunately, no buffet still, but family service. Some nice fresh salads there and some nice roasted meats. We also went to Ohana Breakfast, which is something we did last time. Breakfast with Lilo and Stitch and Mickey and Pluto was amazing.
And the characters were back then, were they, for breakfast?
They were back, yeah. I think it was one of the first weeks. That was on my daughter's birthday as well. We were lucky to have two birthdays out there. And we went to Magic Kingdom. We did the character breakfast and then went back to Magic Kingdom afterwards. And it was just a lovely kind of experience to be able to come out, have a breast, and then go back in. And then the last place, which I think probably impressed me the most, was Artist's Point at Wilderness Lodge.
With the Wicked Queen and Snow White.
Absolutely. So that was really, really good. It was the only time it rained for the whole 2 weeks, and it absolutely came down, but we were lucky enough to be in there. Wilderness Lodge, I think, is probably one of my favourite resorts to go to. We've been to Whispering Canyon before, but with the kids being quite young still, it was a little bit rambunctious for us. So we went there. The food was really well presented, all on little plates, and it comes in like a little stack with the, looking like a tree. At the end, they bring you a little chocolate heart in a box, a bit like the Huntsman does in the film. I had a very good time talking to Grumpy as well. He was absolutely sarcastic to me, I think, picking on all the dads there. I was watching him. But yeah, the food really impressed me, and it was just a nice experience to be able to go somewhere totally different.
Yeah, it's a very different character meal as well, like you say, isn't it?
Yeah,
I like the fact that the Wicked Queen doesn't come to your table. You have to go to see her at the end, which was, and we were right next to her. We were the closest table, and she was glaring at us
until you went over. Have you ever been to Baseline Tap House over at Hollywood Studios?
I walked past it a couple of times, we ate at Sci-Fi Drive-In Theatre just next to it as well, and I really liked the idea of it, but we just couldn't make it work with the kids as well. I did have one of my really big memories was I had an evening just with me and my daughter. My son was a little bit unwell one day, so we went to Typhoon Lagoon and then came back and then decided we had a whole afternoon and evening, so we hit Hollywood Studios and did all the big rides stacking Genie Plus, and I kept walking by it, but I thought I can't really take my 8-year-old in there. We'll have to go somewhere else. So next time, I think.
Next time for an IPM. I've not asked you your favourite memory of all the times you've been. You know, you've been for 20 odd years.
I've got one from kind of before kids and one after. So
right.
When we went before, me and my wife Heather, we stayed in Magic Kingdom right the way to the end to see the Kiss Goodnight. So we sat there waiting for the castle, and everyone was filtering out, and all the cleaners were coming in. And then I think it must have been either the park manager or whoever was kind of running the place on that particular evening came up and just asked us what we were doing, if we'd had a good day, and got talking to us. And he just said, just to let you know, whenever you're ready, we're not going to push you out or anything, but whenever you're ready, we'll bring a car up. So, you know, the really old cars that they have on Main Street. So they brought it up. We saw the Kiss Goodnight, got in the car, and they drove us down Main Street while everyone was waving at us, which was absolutely lovely. Got to the front and asked where we were going. We were staying at All Star at the time. Says, we'll get a bus to wherever you want to go. So that was lovely. This time was probably my evening with my daughter, Regan. I've talked to my wife about it. She's fine with me saying it, but it was just lovely to kind of cut loose a little bit. My wife was happy to stay at the resort with my son, who was a little bit ill. So like I said, we stacked Genie Plus. We thought it's either going to be Epcot or Hollywood Studios because it's on the Skyliner. We can get there nice and quickly. And we just had a really nice evening in Hollywood Studios, stacked all the big rides. It was Regan's first time on roller coasters, which she absolutely loved. So she was able to go on Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, brilliant.
Did Tower of Terror, did basically every big ride, had dinner there, and then was able to kind of go back and be in bed relatively early still. So it was lovely just to spend a little bit of time with her.
Yeah.
She was very much my partner on this trip. It was kind of me and her. We were trying to get as much done as possible.
Were you a little bit worried, like, going on Tower of Terror and things for the first time, going, oh, I hope she likes this?
Yeah, she talked it up. She talked a big talk, but we think it's probably the only one she's still scared of.
Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah, she did it. She was very adamant she was going to. Her friend chickened out last year, and we talk about it a lot now. Like, are you gonna chicken out? It's okay if you do, but if you want to go on it. So she was really brave, and yeah, she absolutely loves it now.
I've been with adults who've chickened out literally at the minute the lift doors open. They go, "Do you know what? I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you in the gift shop." That's fine.
We did see an adult chicken out, yeah. And even Regan was laughing at them, so it didn't convince them. They were happy to do the walk of shame.
And you went to the Halloween party, didn't you? Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. How was that?
We did. Yeah, it's incredible. Brilliant. We've been as a couple, but it's amazing to see how it's changed. We had a really nice, easy day that day, and then decided to go in around 5 o'clock. Dressed up like Toy Story characters, so I was in my best Buzz Lightyear costume.
Yeah.
and just lovely to see. We didn't really hit many rides. We did Pirates that had the live actors on there, which was great seeing. Space Mountain completely in the dark, which is an interesting experience because you don't exactly know where you're going or what you're doing. But it was just lovely to go around, meet some villains, check out all the snacks. I think we pretty much had every snack that was available at the festival, which was really good to do. Yeah, and just nice to see different things, see a different fireworks show, see the Boo to You parade. And just, yeah, have quite a relaxed one, really. You know, it was quite busy. I think they all sold out when we were there, but it was just great to kind of spend that time and not feel like you have to hit every ride, you have to do every experience.
It's not really about the rides when you pay for that, because, like, we can go on the rides at any time, but certain characters and the trick-or-treating and seeing the parade that you can't see any other time, can you? And did you manage to stay up late? Because when I've been before, it's been like, it's a late party, isn't it? It goes until like midnight, 1 in the morning, and then you've got to get back to your hotel. It's hard graft.
Yeah. So we had a very easy day. We left it. It was the only day we didn't really have structured. So we left it nice and easy, had some time in the pool, did a little bit of shopping that day, and just had, you know, really kind of relaxing one. And then we were able to kind of go in quite fresh. We also decided to get up a bit later that day, so we went back to Magic Kingdom the day after. So we were able to, I got up at 7 and started stacking Genie Plus, as I think everybody does now, but then able to go back to sleep and let them have a little bit of a lay-in, which was quite nice, and then, yeah, go back fresh.
So I'm guessing you had the Genie Plus that you could buy for the entire trip at the time, when that was
available. We did, yes. Oh. We saw that it was going to be going away.
It's gone,
for the entire trip. So we called the travel agents and just said, you know, let's just get it on. And it was a no-brainer. We didn't have to think about it. I'd use it again. I'd probably look at select days of using it next time.
Which parks would you choose if you're only going to go, no, we'll have one day of Genie Plus. Which day would you use it for?
I probably think Magic Kingdom. I was going to say Hollywood Studios, but I think Magic Kingdom has so many things that you can get a Genie Plus whilst you're queuing for something else. Whereas the studios, I think it's got a lot of nice queuing areas, like the Rise of the Resistance queuing area.
Yeah.
Minis. If I had to, I'd probably go for Magic Kingdom.
I'm going to give you your perfect day at Walt Disney World, Rory. Just talk me through it.
The two favourite parks for us were probably Hollywood Studios and Epcot. So I would probably going to just concentrate on those, because I know it's perfect day and it's not fantasy day where you can make time go a little bit further. So I'd probably wake up. I'd either wake up in Caribbean Beach or potentially the Contemporary. But I think we kind of really fell in love with Caribbean Beach this time, and just waking up to Calypso drums. We would go to the Trattoria and have a character breakfast, because that would be back. We'd see Ariel and Rapunzel and their respected princes as well. Then I would walk to Epcot. We would do probably a full morning in Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy, which we loved last time. Do some of the big things like Soarin' and Test Track, and have lunch around the world, because the food festival would be on. And then I would take my own advice. I think I'd go back to the pool. I'd have a little bit of a relax.
Rest time.
And then get changed again, and then jump on the Skyliner and go to Hollywood Studios and pretty much repeat that evening that me and my daughter did. We'd hit the big rides like Tower of Terror. rock and roller coaster, go and have some dinner in Galaxy's Edge, maybe sneak in a baseline because I'd be able to this time have an IPA or two. And then I think we finish with Fantasmic because as much as we loved Harmonious and the fireworks at the Magic Kingdom, Fantasmic's got a special place in my heart. It was absolutely devastating to miss it last time. So we'd jump in and do a Fantasmic to end the evening, I think.
Sounds like a perfect day. Love it. Rory, lovely chatting to you and have a magical day.
Thank you very much. You too.
If you'd like to join me on the podcast, just drop me a message. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, @PodMagical is where we are. And if you're off to the magic over the next few weeks, do tag us in your photographs. The weather should be quite nice. It's getting nice and warm now. The nights are staying light a little bit longer. We've got the Festival of the Arts, which is still on at Epcot for the next few weeks, and then the Flower and Garden Festival soon after that. The Seven Seas Festival is on over at SeaWorld with some food booths for you to try there. There's some live music as part of that, including En Vogue and the Commodores this weekend, which is pretty cool. Crowds shouldn't be too bad for most of February. The next few weeks really should be pretty quiet. We've got the Disney Princesses Marathon coming later on in the month, which is going to be a busy weekend. But apart from that, shouldn't be too bad. A top tip for this episode is about Fantasmic, our favourite nighttime show over at Hollywood Studios. Fantasmic is still on twice a night. It's usually on around 8 and 9:30. Hollywood Studios usually closes around 9, so the 9:30 show should be tempting. It should be very tempting, and I'll tell you something else. It's very quiet. On my last trip, I actually did the 8 and the 9:30 show. The 9:30 was particularly quiet, but also there's no dining packages. So, you know, you can buy the dining packages and you get really good seats. The dining packages are always sold for the 8 o'clock show. So those really good seats where people have got the dining packages sit at 9:30 aren't occupied. So if it's on at 9:30, get there around 9-ish, start queuing up about 9-ish, you should have really good seats. There aren't really any bad seats at Fantasmic, I don't think. You've got a great view everywhere. I do like to be kind of like 10 rows from the front, but in terms of whether you're in the middle or at one of the ends, I don't really think it matters. But 10 rows from the front, right in the middle, is particularly brilliant. You see a lot of the details there. So second show for Fantasmic, if you can stay up late. That's my top tip for this episode. If you've got any top tips, of course, you can share them with me. Drop me a message. Don't forget to subscribe as well. We've got brand new podcasts every fortnight. Keep following us on the socials before then for any news that breaks. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.